You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to Zoomer Radio and a special broadcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Today, a celebration of Dave Redinger, stories from his friends, and thoughts from listeners near and far. Dave had fans in every corner of life, not just the corner garage. Sit back and share in the gift of memories that Dave left for each of us.
Good morning, and welcome to a special edition of Dave's Corner Garage with the infamous Alan Gelman, who is... How many years were you partners with the Wild One?
Well, we worked together here for, I guess, from River Street and before, but at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And I've known Dave for at least 20 from when we originally met at... another radio station a long, long time ago, and Dave said, I really like this, you know? I think I could do this and maybe even make some money at it. It's fun. So he went off on his own, actually.
Yeah.
He left me standing on the curb, and he went on his own and did quite well with it. And, of course, I was on a different station as well for 10 years, and then when I got sort of shown the door, Dave said, Al, what are you doing? Why don't you come and work with me here on 740?
Because was he going to buy you breakfast at that point?
No, I think we had to flip for it. You know, we went for breakfast.
That's
and then
Dave.
It was like, let's see who wins. And we've had this, and it was just so easy because, you know, Dave and I'd spoke to, you know, I talked to Sam and Jane the other day on the radio.
Yeah, heard it.
And you know, they said, well, Al, you know, it seemed to just flow. Like, and I said, well, it was so easy because Dave and I were both mechanics. We both had, I think, a tremendous sense of humor. And
very little.
And
that's a Davism.
And when people would call in, I mean, for the most part, things are pretty much regular. It's always the same kind of thing. It's like, I got a vibration, or it won't start, or something.
Yeah.
And so much of that was run-of-the-mill for any experienced
sure
mechanic.
Was, yeah.
And, you know, he would say, do you want to take or do I want to take it? And we could pretty much finish each other's sentences, you know.
It was almost as good as being with your wife, except she gets the last one. It's almost like...
I always buy, though. It's always out of my pocket.
Yeah, you know, when we had the... we went to see the family this weekend, everybody was really up. We want this to be... It truly is a celebration of life with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to his daughter, Jenny, and I said, you know what we could do to honor your dad is we should come in here officially with his favorite wardrobe, which is a pair of Walmart khaki pants.
Yes, so yes. He loved the George line.
Do yours fit? He liked the George line.
He liked the George line.
They
and
were
I thought,
shorter.
I thought, what's George? And he said, oh, that's Walmart's house brand of men's fashion clothing. And I went, whoa, yeah. I never knew that.
Apparently he'd
walk around for hours at the Walmart store, Jenny said.
Yeah, and Barb would be outside going, okay, just let him go. So we want to make this, as you can tell, we respect the loss of Dave. And he was... for the thousands of people who have been writing in on Facebook and on our website, I mean, Alan and I, and I have to get used to that, Alan and I have, and the family especially, cannot say enough about how overwhelming it's been to see like over 20,000 people this week just online.
On social media.
So we thought we would get the show going with the way the show used to start off with. This is a track from... one of Dave's...
Early on, yep.
With his, I think, one of his favorite grandchildren. This is Maya, as she used to do the intro to the show.
A mechanic that can fix your car, no matter if it's near or far. He'll change your oil and switch your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
And it really is. It puts us... if that doesn't put a smile on your face, nothing will. And that's what this is all about. So the hour is going to be open for telephone calls if you've got memories that you'd like to share with Alan and I and everybody else. So it's 1-866-740-4740 is there in big font so I can see it?
Mm-hmm.
416-360-4740. We welcome your calls. We're going to have a number of people on throughout the hour. Guests that you've come to know over the last several years with special stories about their relationship with the big guy with the biggest heart I've ever known in my entire life. And the first one up on deck is a very laid-back, quiet, one and only Norris McDonald from Wheels.ca. Thanks for joining us today, Norris. How are you?
I'm fine, fellas. I wish it was a nicer occasion. I wish we were here to talk about, you know, Olympic hockey or the upcoming Daytona 500, but...
You still will.
So be it.
Yep.
I am appalled, however, and when I say appalled, I mean I'm thrown back. Did you say 20,000 messages on Facebook?
Yeah, since Wednesday. Unbelievable.
That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just shows what people in Radio Land and his friends and people who knew of him thought of him. And of course, I love the guy. I mean, it was probably 10 to 15 years ago. I'm like Alan, I can't remember just exactly when, but I'm at the Star, and I'm the editor of Wheels at the time, and the receptionist said, there's a gentleman here to see you. And I said, oh, so I went over to the reception area, and here was this kind of roly-poly guy who's going in a 50 million directions. Come on, I've got to buy you lunch.
Very funny.
And so, you know, I'll never turn. I'm like anybody in the newspaper knows you never turn down a free lunch.
There you go.
So we went down to the Star cafeteria that existed at the time, and I can still remember what he had. He was chomping away on an egg salad sandwich with a bowl of mushroom soup. And I was sitting there with a coffee, and he says, I've heard you got the gift of the gab. You got to come on the show every now and again. And you know, before you know it, I am saying, sure, when do you want me?
And he'd call you up and say, we got a hole to fill on Saturday, can you?
Well, there was always those,
yeah. You
know, and of course it was delightful. Back in the day when, before COVID, when we would all gather in the studio down at Zoomer,
yeah.
And I actually could see Alan, and I could see you, Steve, and of course the engineer, and the gold bust of Elvis
looking
out the window at people wandering past on whatever the name of the street was there in Liberty Village.
River Street, I think it was.
Or he or you would call me at home
right. And
say, somebody just flamed out. can you go on and talk about whatever you want for 10 minutes?
Well, Norris, as I said earlier, you know, because Dave and I were both mechanics, it would just flow. And in the same way, you know, because Dave racing too, eh? And, you know, like yourself.
Well, I mean, that was really what drew us together initially.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is that Wheels in the old days, we did a lot of general automotive stuff. And so it was kind of nice that we had racing and we had road trips and all sorts of things to talk about. And it was always fun going on when Dave would take a week. I'll never forget this one, Alan. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a bit of a jab here. You called me up and said, you got to come on. There's a couple of Canadians going to race in the Daytona 500, and DJ Kennington is one of them. And we're going to interview him, but I want you to carry the interview. And I said, sure. So I come down there, and you started the interview, and I never got a word in edgewise.
Oh, how come you didn't tell me that in there? And we're so close, you could have just kicked me under the table, you know?
Oh, my God, how things have changed. Now it's the reverse.
I thought it was funny. But listen, you know, yeah. I know that there's other people waiting to get on. I got to tell you something other that was a little private. Mm-hmm. About before Dave started to get ill,
yeah,
and before the COVID, about once a month, every 5 weeks, he'd phone me up and say, "Le Castile." That's all he'd say, and I'd say, "What time and what day.
Yeah.
He'd say Tuesday at 1 p.m. And that was all it was said. And there's a wonderful steakhouse on Dundas just west of the 427. And Dave would be there, and his brother Bob would be there.
That's right.
And another one of his automotive friends would be there. And we would exchange all sorts of gossip and what we had learned here, there, and everywhere. And we all got ideas for things like wheels and the auto show, which we were all involved in. Mm-hmm. I can remember those. If you'll recall, you guys would do a remote, as you like to call them. And that was always a great time on a Saturday morning when a whole bunch of the sponsors were there and Dave was being Dave as only Dave could be.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm going to miss him madly. I know you guys do, mm-hmm. as and our 20,000 listeners.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm still knocked over by that number.
Listen, buddy, we thank you for taking the time, and we will, we'll hook up. Down the road, as he would say.
Down the road.
Okay.
And Alan and Steve, I want you to know that it's been a pleasure working with you fellas. And who knows where any of us are going, but particularly you, Alan, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
And next time we meet up, we'll make sure Al pays for breakfast.
I'm going to say in La Castile, I could smell the steak, but I never ate one.
Listen, we want to open up the lines once again. 1-866-740-4740. And 416-360-4740. You want to take a call from somebody?
Yeah, we've got a fellow named Tony online. I really don't know much about it, but apparently he's got a good story to share. Tony?
Yes, buongiorno, boys. That's how buongiorno. You started, and Dave would know it was me.
Yeah. So we don't have much time, Tony, but jump in and give us about a...
Oh, quickly, yeah. It was 2006. I just lost my mother, and... talking to Dave, he says, "Why don't you come on the show?" This one is on the other station. I went down with the product people had there back then, and we were talking about old antique cars. And I said to him, "My car is so antique and so old and original. Even the oil is original." And we were having breakfast at a bad time because he ended up spitting his food out at me. He was laughing so hard. He goes, "Even the oil is original in my car." And it was a 1972 Mustang I had. But Superman, going to miss him. You know, when I saw it yesterday, the day before that, I was just really hurt. But are you guys going to keep a show going? Or?
Absolutely, yeah.
That is the plan, absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, thanks a lot, Tony. You take care, and down the road we will... We'll certainly welcome your call once again, all right? It's a full hour of memories and some laughter, and we want to keep it up like that because Dave would smack us if we didn't do anything.
Exactly.
You know, what are you guys doing?
It was about having fun, yeah. Of course. And we've got Kerry Schmidt on the line. Kerry, how are you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me. It's just an absolute honor here to be part of this conversation.
So you guys have, I mean, how long did you know Dave?
You know what? I knew him even before I was doing anything media-wise. Back in the day, Dave Woodford, my predecessor, he was on with you folks 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And I started listening to you guys when Dave was on it. Dave Woodford, I'm sorry. And it was just like, it was awesome. And when I had the opportunity to join you either in studio or online early in my career here doing media, man, Dave is just a larger-than-life personality. He was so much fun. He had just the best outlook on life. And you know what? I knew he had he was battling medical issues and so on, but I had no idea how bad it was because he always had the biggest, brightest smile, the nicest perspective on everything around him, and he just loved life to the fullest.
Kerry, I'm sort of reading into this that maybe he inspired you to take up the media post at the OPP.
Do you know what? Absolutely. You know, he is just so much fun to be around. We had, so many good conversations, and Alan is you as well. You know, we get in there, we have a plan, and he was always passionate about cars and trucks and repairs, and man, we had so many good chats and the times that we could hang out together, and I so miss our adventures that we missed the last couple of years down at the auto show. And you know, I got to stuff you guys in the back of a police car.
That's right.
That's correct. That's right.
Yeah, and I think there might have been a couple of handcuffs involved as well. And just being able to, you know, have that that connection. You know, Dave loved family, and you know, he, as a cottager myself, and his pride in his property that he was working on with the river and the island, little bridge that goes across, and man. You know, he was just so excited for everything, you know, family related, and taking the time for all his adventures, going down to Florida, getting stuck, getting flooded out.
Yeah,
he was, his car was in, well, was it getting pushed by a truck?
Well, they were heading down to Florida, and they were going through West Virginia, and there was this huge rainstorm that came through, and the river that they were driving adjacent to
started to engulf their car.
We'll give you a bit of a ride. So it literally lifted the car up. They rolled down the river, and Barb's sitting next to him going, could you do something? So he pulls the wheel to the left, ends up on the embankment, and there was this family that were in a basically living in a shed, and they came to their rescue. And Dave, as you said, we all know, had a huge heart, as does Barb. And they went to their house. They had no furniture in the house. The fridge was empty. So they stayed over with this family. And the next day, they went out shopping with them. And they bought them full furniture for the house and stocked their fridge. That was the kind of guy, you know, Dave is and was. He gave from the heart. What do you think, what's the one, I know I put you on the spot a bit here, but what's the one memory that you have of him that will resonate the most?
It's just seeing him. When you see him come, he would meet me at the Zoomer Complex. He'd meet me down at the convention center. You know, we'd connect, and I just see his face. And I was always a bit taller than him, and we'd always have a couple of short jokes or tall jokes or whatever. And, you know, but you could not get that smile off his face. And I look at all the photos of him. You know, you will not get a serious look from that guy any way you can, because he's got that permanent smile attached to him. He is so approachable. It just he makes you feel so included and part of his life. And I felt inspired by that. You know, being able to go down to the studio and hang around the table, and he invited my family. I brought my kids into the studio with you, and hear my son Caden. You know, we got him pulling the controls, doing the fades, changing the channels. You know, it's just like this is how it is. How you inspire the next generation, and you know, David, I love the guy. So it's really hard to think about that.
It really wasn't only until the last while where we realized ourselves that that he was losing the battle. Although, like as you say, you know, he always had this big, shiny, big smile on his face. And, you know, before one of these last shows, he had said to me, he said, please pay close attention because the chemo started to affect me. And he was so concerned that he'd mess up and either people could tell that he wasn't having a good time or he'd just screw something up. But he did. He did have a brain fart at one point. Yeah. And I said, Dave, makes no difference.
No, we would occasionally throw an empty bottle of Gatorade at his head, and he said, okay, so that's what you mean to say. But that was great. And you know, just so you know, Carrie, and to your family, you know, Dave and Alan, and myself included, really relied on you for all the things that have been going on in the world, especially locally, you know, going to long weekends and safety and here's what's going on, OP protocol. Without you, it was, you know, he leaned on you for that, and he cherished not only the friendships that you guys had, but in a business relationship, the amount of important content that you provided for the show and will going forward.
Yeah.
Because we've had a lot of people on Facebook saying, is this it? No. The family wanted to continue, and we wanted to continue.
You know, and Carrie reminds me of Dave, too, because he's just so approachable and always has that big smile on his face.
And he's a Winnipegger boy.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Exactly. Prairie kid.
That's
Are you able to put, when you pull someone over on the side of the road because they're messing up, Are you able to get that smile off your face?
I got the cop look too, you know. You know, if I'm around you guys, I can't make it up. But you know, you're right. You know, Dave was interested in what we were doing in law enforcement and policing and traffic, and of course, he wants to hear about all the crazies that we're stopping. The guy going 200 kilometers, you know, with the summer tires on the ice in the ditch, upside down, rolled, like, you know, he could make fun of them, but then turn that into a safety message, a traffic awareness issue. And I hope people listening, you know, around the world, really through all your platforms, is just, you know, people, I hope they're listening. I hope they're understanding that he was doing this for the right reasons and making sure that you understood the consequences for having a vehicle that's in bad shape, unsafe, reliable, or if you're the guy, if you're the nut behind the wheel that's doing something that you maybe shouldn't be by pushing down that gas pedal and doing something stupid on the highways.
Kerry, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. And like Dave would always say, if you want to meet Kerry, go flying by on the 400 series of highway. It's a good chance Mr. Schmidt is going to come and get you. Gary, well, take care of yourself.
Love you guys.
All right, you
too. We'll
talk
to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, once again, the phone numbers are open if you want to give us a call, or you just want to sit back with a cup of coffee and maybe a Bailey's in there, wouldn't be bad, and share a memory that that you had with Dave. 1-866-740-4740 or 416-360-4740. I believe we have the Prince, as Dave would call him.
The Prince.
Trevor Hutchison from Crown. Over
the
to you, Al.
Crown Prince. How are you, Trevor?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Gentlemen. Is this the same Trevor?
Trevor always treated Dave with the utmost respect. Almost like a father figure, I think. Hey, Trevor?
You know what, Alan? That is a perfect expression, the way I felt about Dave. Absolutely. You know, it's funny listening to some of your comments about him. I met David back in the late 90s, and you know, most of your listeners know Dave as a personality, and anybody that's met Dave or even heard him knew he had a big personality, but he was a real person. And I think that's kind of what really touched me this week. Like, when I met David, I walked into his automotive garage in Etobicoke, and he had a lady had come in with her vehicle, and she'd been at another garage and maybe was taken a little bit advantage of. Mm-hmm. And so I had just met Dave, and Dave's trying to arrange his shop to be able to look after the work for her, which to nobody's surprise, he did at no charge to fix a poor repair that was or wasn't done.
Oh, wow.
But he just meets me, and, you know, it's going to take a little time to do this. And he says, hey, can you drive this woman, you know, back to her place? I'm like, oh, okay, sure. And so sure enough, I do it, and I come back. And that was the way I met Dave. And that was the way David was, right? He was just such a big-hearted person. And then he's like, he just goes on. It's kind of like a conversation never ended with Dave. It just continued on each time you talked to him.
It's a good way of putting it, because that's what he was. He was a storyteller. You know, we would have people when you were on with us in the studio, which we will be able to have you back pretty soon, about the stories with Crown and his relationship with you guys and Freeman Young and everybody there. And there was... To me, the biggest thing with Dave and you, the relationship, was the trust that you guys had in each other. Just knowing, it was definitely seamless.
It was like that shaver commercial, though, you know? He liked the product, the electric shaver commercial, where he loved the product so much, he bought the company. And Dave had a franchise, correct?
Yeah. He did. Yeah, yes. Dave was part of the Crown family, and, you know, it's just... It's so amazing because, you know, Dave was such an ideas guy, and most of them were great. There were some that were nutty, but Dave was so enthusiastic about it. Even the craziest idea, he would envelop you into, well, we got to try this.
Of course,
and that's what Dave did, you know, and he inspired a lot of entrepreneurs. You know, I remember. Because I've probably been in maybe six different studios with Dave, some the size of a shoebox. But like Kerry was saying, like, you know, I remember one time he asked me if I could come in, and it happened to be our anniversary. And, you know, every time he would phone me, the first thing he would ask is, how's your wife? How's Lucy doing? How are your parents? And so anyway, I told him one time that it was my anniversary. He says, well, we're kind of short on somebody. Can you come in? So, okay. And he says, well, bring her with you.
Yeah.
So we're in a very, not like the spacious studio you're in today, but in a really tight studio, and we're in there, and Dave wants nothing to do with me. He just wants to talk to Lucy about what kind of husband I am. And he even took calls on it. It was just Dave, right? He just wanted to enjoy it and make fun of things. You know, we were in Ryerson once when he was working out of there, and I had no idea how beautiful a radio studio they had there.
Yeah.
And Dave knew I like, you know, classic music and records. And he says, you've got to see the record vault in here. So it used to be on an early Sunday morning, so there weren't many people around. And what he did is he said, hey, let me take you in here. So, of course, he's got pass cards to get in places. And he said, just look around. He was going back to set up the show. He says he'll come back. So I'm looking at this record, and there's got to be tens of thousands of records in here. And I'm just pulling stuff out and looking at it. And then the security guard comes in and says, what are you doing in here? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, how did you get in here? I'm like, oh, well, Dave Redinger let me. He's like, who? And I'm like, oh, no. And so I promptly got escorted out of there. They actually took me out of the building. Dave had to come back downstairs to let me in. And he's like, oh. And then when the security guard's there, the first thing he says to him, I've never seen this man in my life. You know, and that was just Dave. He loved to have a good time, but he really cared so much about people. And I really felt that every conversation I had with David mattered.
Absolutely. Trevor, thank you very much for taking the time to come on with us today. We do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this, Alan and Steve. And I know it's, you know, this is a tremendous loss for Dave's family and for you guys as well. But this is very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Okay. We'll see you down the road. We'll have you back down here.
Take care, guys.
All right. Speaking of interesting stories, we've had this next guest on with us several times. He's extremely laid back and has to get him out of his shell. But he's involved with Young Steels Ford, but has been in the car industry forever. Yeah.
Forever.
It's good morning. Mark Silverman, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good.
Thanks for having me. And,
pleasure.
This is probably one of the most important shows we're ever going to do.
You're right, you know, and you've been listening in and hearing the stories. So I know we had talked earlier on in the week about some of the stuff you guys went through, so you may want to relay that to everybody who's listening right now.
What story was that, Steve?
memories. Yeah, sure. Put me under the bus early into it.
I'll tell you what it was. I decided I'm going to call Dave, and I said, Dave, you know, I want to do a reality show at the dealership. I want to put this on TV, show everybody what goes on in the dealership. And Dave says, you know what? That's a great idea. And you know how Dave is. And about 5 weeks later, this whole camera crew shows up, and we disrupt my business for about 4 hours. And we're filming. We're in the bays. We're in my office. We're everywhere. And after every segment, we looked at the film to see how everything was going. Everything was going great. The last segment was in my office. We finished it. And Dave said, okay, let's do a recap. Let's look at the whole thing together. And when we went to look at it, there was nothing there. the camera, something had failed, and the 4 hours of work that we had just done was blank.
Oh, my God.
So Dave looked at me, and I looked at Dave, and the first thing out of Dave's mouth was, well, what's new in Ford these days? Like, he totally, you know, he wasn't upset. He wasn't, you know, he was the kind of a guy that, let's move on. This didn't work. We're moving on. He was a phenomenal broadcaster. He was a phenomenal mechanic. He used to act for a few different businesses if there was some accusations of poor workmanship. And I remember one time he came into my shop and he had one of his clients had supposedly done some damage or didn't do a proper repair. They showed up with their mechanic and their lawyer and everything, and as soon as Dave walked in the room, the mechanic that was there for the customer said, let's go. we're done. He was so knowledgeable, and, you know, him and I turned wrenches for many, 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 many years. We knew a lot about cars. His passion was cars. His most important passion was his family. Any discussions I've ever had with Dave, lunches, dinners, whatever, there was always something to do with his family involved.
You know, it reminds me, too, you know, we talk about Dave loving to do media, TV, radio, and hear how something bad happened to you guys. And we had something in Detroit where we were already mic'd and we were walking along and we were supposed to go do the next episode, you know, because we would go and interview people. And way back when, you remember, Mark, in the old days, they always used to use very nicely, you know, scantily clad ladies to do the presentations, right? You know, they'd have these hot models there pointing at the cars and stuff. And without realizing that we were still live.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes, yes. Dave and I started commenting on about, you know, the...
formations.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we didn't realize, or I certainly didn't realize, that it was being recorded at the same time. And sure enough, the next time we're on air, Dave has Flavio, our video guy, replay that part, and it was like, oh my God.
Really?
And Dave thought that it was the most hysterical thing that he ever did. And it was all about having fun, eh?
Yes, for sure. And you know what? The sad part is that he's no longer with us, but we're hoping, at least I am anyways, that we can keep this show going. I can come back and we can keep the listeners informed as to what's going on, because there was a lot of information transpired on this show. And a lot of good information. I used to get feedback from customers. And you know what? It's something that he started. It's a legend. And it's hopefully we can keep it going.
Well, you know, it's always important that we have an inside track. You know, there's so many different things happen in the audio industry. And you know, if it's a bad thing or where it's not, you know, beneficial to the manufacturer, they want to keep it under the table. But it's nice having these connections who are happy to say, you know what, we're having some problems. As Mark knows, I came across an issue, and Mark said, here's what you got to do. Okay, and that's how he said it, too, by the way.
Doesn't matter how you say it. It's how it works.
That great information. You're always trying to help people. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know what, guys, this is a good one, and we're certainly going to try and keep it going. And by all means, if anybody needs any assistance, you know, Alan, if you need me, give me a shout.
Thanks, Mark. I do appreciate it.
Okay, bud, we'll talk to you on the road. All right.
Thanks.
And for those who have been writing in and calling in this morning, the show is continuing on. He'd smack us if we didn't.
Exactly.
You go, come on.
What do you mean?
It's called Dave's Corner Garage. Keep it going, so we will. As most of you know, all of you probably, Dave did pass away with a 20-year battle against cancer, and we wanted to jump on board and help research going forward with the oncology department at Mount Sinai. So if you have a time, and you can go online over the next week or so, the website to make a donation is www.supportsinai.com. That's a www.supportsinai.com. And if you can, make a donation in the memory of Dave Reniger and his family, which I believe are probably listening right now. And this is therapy, I think, for everybody, but especially for them. And, you know, we had a lot of fun with Dave over the years on the radio and also with one of his passions, of course,
was
car racing.
Yeah.
And this next guy we have on the air, a good friend, great client, but has become more of a friend, also has spent some time with him on the road. So we want to welcome in Darren Boston from Triangle Tire. Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. A lot of good calls this morning, and, you know, we're just reminiscing about the man. So share us some stories that you may have with you've had with Dave.
Well, you know, first off, thanks for having me for this celebration of life. It's, it's, I'm honored to be here for sure. You know, what can I say about Dave? Met him about 6-7 years ago at Switzer's Deli, just north of the airport there. It was by chance, and then we started talking, and then shortly after that, as you said, I became you guys became a vendor for me, and but then shortly after that, friends. You know, Dave and I spent some time at the track together. Enjoyed it, like his laugh. His, you know, he was always in a good mood, no matter what was going on or happening in his life. You know, you gotta, like, not many people can do that, and I give him credit for that. And we definitely had some good times at the track. His wealth of knowledge about cars and, you know, mechanics and everything like that was a blessing. Like, I learned so much from the man. He was unbelievable.
Now, Darren, a question. You know, Dave was always in for a laugh or out for a laugh, and he didn't want to spend a whole lot of money. But when you were racing a Porsche, correct?
Correct.
Maybe you want to tell the listeners what Dave was racing.
Well, he still to this day holds the record for his smart car going around.
I remember that. When he said he was racing a smart car, I went, get out of town, okay?
He went down. Remember this, Darren? He went down the straightaway, and he was doing a 120. That's miles per hour in a smart car, and he's going around the corner, and it's like tilting over.
He's on two wheels.
Yeah. Time. And we had this old BMW that was beaten up, and I went down the straightaway with him the first time, and he was driving it, and he was doing a 140.
You were in the passenger seat?
Yeah, and then and then he said, "You go around and do it." Mm-hmm. I did that, and then I went with Darren around the track with his car. You may want to relay that story about what happened while Dave was watching us. Go ahead. Come on.
Well, as you know, we were facing the right way for part of the ride, and then all of a sudden we're facing the wrong way.
Yes.
We're going with the cars, and then all of a sudden all the cars are coming towards us. That was pretty exciting, wasn't it, Steve?
Oh, my.
Donuts are good in a coffee shop, but not in the middle of a racetrack, I got to tell you.
No. I think there were some underwear changes after that.
Oh, it was. It was like, okay, life's gone here. But there, I remember, because I had never done any racing at all at Cayuga, anywhere. And then I came off the track, and you kept going, and it was a long day, and what happened at the end of the day there, Darren?
I don't know. I can't remember.
You can't? Oh,
you're going to have to refresh my memory.
I believe
at the end of the day.
I believe that you had driven so much that you – didn't you run out of gas on the way home?
No, I don't think I ran.
Oh, okay.
I was very close to running out of gas.
I see.
I know I trickled into Cayuga there on fumes for sure. And I think it basically cut out on me as I pulled up to the pump, thank God. Because, as you know, you run out of gas in a car like that, you're getting it towed.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know, you know, in the many times that Dave and I would go up to Dynamic Tire, the head office for Triangle, and
yes,
we'd have our unique meetings, which we had a schedule we were going to talk about, right? And then
yes,
it was like, after 10 minutes, heck with this. Let's just, you know. But that was, you know, you guys had stories together, and that's what he respected you so much. Because of your knowledge of the business and how you were able to convey what the tire industry was all about to our listeners.
No, for sure. And the feeling was mutual. Dave was just a class act. Like I said, always in a good, like, he had such charisma and people wanted to be around him because no matter what mood you were in that day, once you were dining around Dave for a very short period of time, you felt good. No, he just made you feel good.
I remember that, actually, a couple times. I mean, they were probably after some big car shows or something where Darren was looking a little bit rough around the edges, I remember. He showed up, and he'd have a big bottle of water going, whoa, I'm a little bit rough right now. But within 15 minutes, I mean, you know, you were awake and laughing and carrying on.
Oh, right, that was a show, right?
Yes. Darren's going, ooh, I think I had a little bit too much.
Well, we were like, I think the first year we did it, Darren, remember? We were down at the MTCC, and we had everything. The station was all set up. Everybody's there, and we're going, where's Bossens? Where is he? And then he showed up. I threw a bottle of water at him. It was like, and he was like, he was fine. And for you, I mean, at the beginning of it with Dave and Alan, I mean, this was the first time you'd ever been on radio, and
absolutely,
you know, it was a little dicey. But I mean, it's become, you've become your own storyteller about, you know, the tire industry. And I think, I know that Dave really respected that part of it, because you were able to relate to our listeners, of which there are over 100,000, I know, that are listening to us right now, about what the business was all about and the technology, and how you, much like Dave was able to, and Al, could save money, you know, the warranty stuff. So it was
great. No, they like, I remember the first few times I was definitely nervous, because, you know, you're, like you said, I'd never done this before.
Yeah.
You're thinking about all the, you know, listeners. It's and I all I kept saying in my head is, that thank God this isn't TV, because that would have been worse. And I remember Dave saying, Darren, don't worry about it. You're just talking to me. Me and Alan, you're talking to us. If there's no one else there, just look at it from that viewpoint. And that kind of immediately eased me. And then slowly but surely it became, you know, second nature. So it was, he definitely has helped me in many ways. And I'm definitely going to miss the man. There's no two ways about that.
I think the funniest was when he would always stop you in mid-sentence and he'd say, don't tell that story, because when we go live, you're going to think about, I've already told that story. And that's how he just did it. See, he turned everybody into a radio star at one point.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, it's the feeling that he gave you. He just made you comfortable no matter what the situation you were in. So, and not many people can do that.
Yeah, I tell you.
Kudos to him.
This morning we were sitting in the green room. I don't know why they call it a green room. It's really white. and we were sitting there going, there was somebody missing at the other side of the table. And, you know, when you would come down and we'd go through what the show was going to be all about, and then you knew that by shortly after 10 o'clock, it was off the rails, because that's the way we wanted it to be, and we will continue to be the kind of show where people are sort of kicking back and hearing good stories, information as well. And, you know, it was, you'd always see him there when you would arrive. He'd have his Gatorade bottle, his hat on, and, of course, his famous pair of khaki pants from Walmart that he always had on. And that was Dave.
I think he had more than one pair.
Oh, at least. Yeah, I know his daughter Jennifer was telling me, or Jenny, that he probably had a closet full. So it was great. Listen, buddy, thank you for taking the time on a Saturday to join us, and we will have you down the studios very soon. You'll have to make that drive if you'd like to.
Yep, no, for sure. And I wouldn't have missed this for the world. Okay. And all the best to both you gentlemen.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
All right, we've got a caller that's Carlos. Do we have anybody there?
So we've got Mark.
Okay.
And we've got Susan on the line.
Susan?
Susan's calling in. No. Oh, guess not.
Oh, we're...
You know, one of the things that I've known many of Dave's, you know, employees for many years, too, whether it was Mark, who I'm going to get on in a second, or it was Mike Arbeau, you know, people who had you know, Dave would take on anybody. And one of the things, passion and pleasure, just to help other people turn their lives around. And whether it was Mike or Mark, you know, these are people that were totally green behind the ears, really had not a whole lot of ambition, I don't think. And he was able to say, listen, if you work hard, and you can achieve what I have.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it. And, you know, they were so thankful to him. Now, Mark, we got Mark Sachs on the phone right now. Mark's still running Dave's old shop. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Great.
In spite of everything, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
What year did you start with Dave?
I met Dave in 89. Mm-hmm. I was a 15-year-old high school kid. And the shop was around the corner from the school, and I kind of walked down there after work, had an interest in cars, and walked in and saw Dave there and asked him if he was looking for any help. And we kind of sat down, and he asked me about myself. We chatted for about 5 minutes, said, come back tomorrow. And that was it. That was the beginning of a 33-year relationship.
Now, you started as the head broomologist, I think. Did you not?
That was it. But you know what? I'll say something for Dave. He would never, ever ask anybody to do anything he wouldn't do himself. So he'd say, grab a broom, clean the washroom. But you know what? He'd be right there, and he'd do it too.
That's
like
right.
I
remember one of Dave's expressions. He says, you know what CEO stands for? And I went, first time he got me, I said, no, he says, it means clean every office. just like you're saying.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was, working with Dave was an amazing experience. And one of the things that a lot of people may not realize is the personality that everybody sees on the radio. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fake. It wasn't a radio postponer or on TV. That was Dave.
Exactly. There was never on, you know, on stage or off. He was on all the time.
That was just genuinely him. Mm-hmm. And in the workplace, he made everybody a family. He brought everybody together. He was the father figure. Every Friday, we'd break bread, we'd have lunch together, we'd all just sit down and talk about, not work, we'd talk about, you know, how's your family? And family was important to him. He was interested in yours. And what are you doing on the weekend? Oh, and, you know, it was just, it was a relationship. It, again, it was a family.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he was all about. I mean, you and I were talking a bit last night. You may want to share a short story about how much he got involved, besides the business and being on radio every single weekend for over 21 years. That's over 1,100 shows he did. That he always remembered a story about your kids, that he would always be there for them, special events.
Yeah, I mean, he was there. I said, I started with him when I was 15, and then I met my to-be wife. He was there at my wedding. He was there when all of the kids were born. Really played an active role. And if there was ever time I needed, you know, just even personal advice, I'd sit down and he'd be happy to give it. Mm-hmm. I didn't always want to hear it, but it was truthful. He kind of saw it from an outside perspective, and he always genuinely cared about everybody that he was with, worked with, involved with, and even with customers. Sometimes someone has said that they'd been wronged or whatever, he'd go, we can fix that. And he wasn't, he was just in it as a genuinely caring person.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, just earlier we were hearing a story from Trevor, and he said that one of the times he'd visited the shop, there was a lady who'd been done wrong by, and Dave fixed it for free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done that on a few occasions where he's just gone, that's not right. And as I said, I took over his shop. Mm-hmm. He gave me that opportunity, and I can honestly say that it's his modeling that I've tried to continue.
Well, he was a great example.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was also crazy.
Which is why we loved him so much. If he was normal,
we're in the beginning, when I started working with him, he had this crazy idea. He wanted to take a Daytona and make it into an El Camino.
Right.
And I went, huh? And he goes, yeah, bring it in. And he just grabbed a saw and started cutting it up. But lo and behold, a few weeks later, there was this beautiful looking Daytona El Camino. I mean, he would just be one of these guys who wouldn't take, that can't be done. And he'd go, yeah, Ken. If he believed in it, it would happen.
And you were part of that. You know, you helped him do some of those things too. Did you when he was racing Hondas, were you involved in that?
It was right at the end, I guess, tail end of him. I saw a couple of the cars that he was running around and racing with.
Mm-hmm.
And would help him with a couple of the cars. I never had the opportunity to go down to the track, and then that kind of, I guess, petered off as he more worked on with the shop, and I think as his kids came along, and then it was as he was exiting out of the garage and moving into media where he goes, I'm going to pick up racing again. I think it was his son Brian who kind of, it gave him something to do, and again, it was a family bonding thing, so... Mm-hmm. When he said to me, he suddenly developed a passion for smart cars.
Yeah, that's right.
We heard about that. He held the Lamb speed record at KU on a smart car.
Yeah.
Listen, Mark, thank you. Thank you very much. We're just going to try and get some calls before
Absolutely.
We got to call it a show. But
thank you very much for letting me having me on.
We'll have you back on down the road, and
all right.
You're more than welcome to be coming in and be a guest once in a while. Okay. Thanks, Mark. All right, Al, you've got somebody.
You know, by the way, in Mark's place is called Wrench Spinners.
Wrench Spinner.
But one of the first wrench spinners who ever worked for Dave was Mike Arbeau. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Al, what's happening, man?
Well, we got up on time today, and which reminds me of the story about some guy who, when he started working for Dave, would always show up late. So what did he do for you?
So the story is, let me tell you, I met Dave over 40 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was 19 years old. He had a place on the Queensway, Dr. Honda. I started working for him. About a year later, we moved to Haines Road. And I was always, like Al said, I was always late for work. He says, Mike, you know, there's a back room, so you're never late if you want to come. If you want to live here, you can live here. And I actually took him up on it. So I lived in his shop for about a year and a half. Wow. And every morning, I'd still be late because he'd knock on the door, and I'd have to get up out of bed and go to work.
Well, you didn't have far to go. You pretty much just had to roll out of bed, open the door, and you were there.
Yeah, so me and the dog lived there for a year and a half. Dave was a great guy. He really helped me get life going. I mean, I was a young mechanic. He taught me a lot. I owned my own business for 25 years, and I kind of semi-retired now. But he helped me a lot. You know, he was, what else could I say? He used to tease me. He'd say, Mike, you big wimp. He used to call me Mike the Big Wimp, right?
Now, why did he call you the Big Wimp?
I don't know why. We used to tease each other. But and then, you know, through life, we all started. He started doing radio and TV. So, you know, you, me, Iverse, all did radio, did TV for quite a few years. And I haven't seen him in a while, but I'm going to miss him because he was a great guy.
Yeah, that's the one thing, like I mentioned earlier, you know, he taught trade school. He liked to take high school kids in. And he really, honestly, you know, he wanted to help people, you know. It wasn't just about working on cars. It was about helping people get their life straight and to show them that if they had goals and they applied themselves, they could achieve a whole lot too, just like he did. And you did as well.
Yeah, he was he's a great guy. I like I said, I'm going to miss him. I don't know what else to say about him. He just, he was great.
Well, maybe one day because you sound like you're a very quiet, laid-back person, maybe we'll have you down here one day as we move forward with the show. And I'd like to meet you, and you can tell us a bit more about that special bedroom loft you had on the in the garage.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
buddy.
I was like Sanford and Son.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you for taking the time out.
Mike, have a great weekend. Thank you.
And take it easy, Al. See ya.
All right, for sure, man.
He sounds like a character and a half, huh?
Oh, he was. We didn't even talk about the car he rolled over.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, you're talking about cars. They're Dave's sons, Brian and Mark, who I think they have as much love for fixing up cars as Dave had. And they're going to continue on. We got a chance to meet most of the family that I've never seen before, Jenny and the family. So just for everybody who's listening, and it's right across Canada, that the family are listening in this morning, and they're writing in throughout some of the interviews we've had this morning, just talking about this is a healing process for them. And for everybody who's listened in, not everybody wanted to call in, and we get all that, but respectfully, without Dave, personally, I would not be doing anything. It's been 10 years that I've been with the Crazy Man, and he gave me a chance. And meeting you and meeting Carlos, the producer behind everything, who really has kept it together. And it's interesting to me, as we wrap it up, that of the whole 2 years we haven't been able to be in the studio, of all weekends, this is the weekend we can come by. So, you know, he's up there going, don't screw up, guys. You know, so do it. So I'll leave the rest to you as we wind it up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say again, you know, Dave fought the a strong fight for 20 years, and he wanted to make sure that, excuse me, sorry, he wanted to make sure that the hospital got his support as well, or your support, www.supportsinai.com. Some great doctors there doing some great work. And
they will continue on with your help. And you and I will continue on. And if you didn't do what you just did, then there'd be something wrong with you. That's called being a mensch. He would smack you. He'd probably throw something at the window.
Well, we're here for a good time, not a long time.
That's right, and we will see you all, or talk to you all next week. As Dave would say, what was the expression? Come on.
Happy trail. Oh, keep the shiny side up and the greasy side down. And like Roy said, happy trails to you. Yeah. Happy trails, Dave.
And for the many people who've been writing in all week, they wanted to hear this song one last time before we get into the new level of Dave's Corner Garage, which is going to be what you've been used to over 21 years. Write in on Facebook after the show's over. Send us an email. Give us your ideas of what you'd like to hear going forward. And thanking everybody, especially here at the radio station, for everything you guys have done for Dave, the family, Alan, and myself. See you next week.
Who cares about the clouds and we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.